The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on August 10th, 1986 at Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 49 through 70.
Kaivalya nirvana suganubhuti priyasuhitva kalumatuleya akmarhaniyo vidhikrit kuruscha.
Translation. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet He, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, He is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet He acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. In this regard, Prabhupada says that there is a difference of opinion about the absolute truth. One class of transcendentalists concludes that the absolute truth is impersonal, and another class concludes that the absolute truth is a person. In the Bhagavad Gita, the absolute truth is accepted as the Supreme Person. Indeed, the Supreme Person Himself, Lord Krishna, instructs in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi pratishtaham, mata puratram nanyat. The impersonal Brahman is my partial manifestation, and there is no truth superior to me. That same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acted as the supreme friend and relative of the Pandavas. And sometimes He even acted as their servant by carrying a letter from the Pandavas to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Because Krishna was the well-wisher of the Pandavas, He also acted as guru by becoming the spiritual master of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master, Shishastheham Shadhimam Twan Prapannam. And Krishna sometimes chastised him. For example, the Lord said, Asochan Anvasochas Twan Pragyavadamcha Bhashase. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. The Lord also said, Kutastva kasmalam idam vishame samupashtitam. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Such was the intimate relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. In the same way, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. This is a statement of the authority Sri Narada Muni. So, there are many philosophies, many ideas regarding the nature of the absolute truth. What is the supreme truth? Is the supreme truth impersonal? Or is the supreme truth the supreme person? In this way, there are many different ideas which are circulated. Some people, they claim that the Supreme Truth is impersonal, yet they claim themselves to be an incarnation of that Supreme Truth and their person. So there are all types of groups, ideas going about. So Narada Muni here is considered one of the 12 great authorities, and he explains that impersonal Brahman is Krishna, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. Earlier in the first canto of Bhagavatam, it explains that the Supreme Truth, or the Param Brahma, is one. It's a non-dual substance. Vadanti tattvam vidam yajganam tattamadhyayam Parameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabdyate. That Supreme Truth is realized as an effulgence, as an unlimited light, as a localized super soul in everyone's heart, and as the Supreme Person who is the origin of everything and the Samam Bonam. So in these three aspects of the Absolute Truth, different types of yogis realize different aspects. The Jnana yogis, those who by mental speculation and by their willpower and study of spiritual books like the Vedanta Sutra, they come to the conclusion that this material world is temporary, the spiritual world is eternal, that this world has form, spiritual world must have no form. That is their conclusion. Of course, their conclusion is also considered to be material. Because if this material world is illusion, and our mind is a product of the material world, then anything we can think with our mind must also be illusion. Isn't it? Since our mind is part of the material world, and our mind is part of this illusion, so whatever we can think with our mind is also illusion. So they are thinking that this material world is form, therefore the Supreme Truth must have no form. They're thinking that, therefore it must be illusion. So one of the names of Krishna is Adhokshaja. That means that he is inconceivable. He can neither be described by any words. He is beyond description. Simply we can give some indirect explanation which indicate him, but exact explanation we cannot give. To know Krishna, you must realize Krishna. Tick, 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 tick. The realization of Krishna is through different forms of yoga. And actually, realization of Krishna is through the process of bhakti yoga or devotional service. Jnana yoga we've discussed, that is through the mind, through speculation, but by that you can only realize maximum the effulgence coming from Krishna or the impersonal absolute aspect. By practicing the hatha yoga, ashtanga yoga process, which is very difficult, frankly speaking, to practice. But if one were to practice it to complete success, they could realize that there's a super soul or Paramatma in the heart, which is our constant companion, and who is the source of the Brahman. You can realize that super soul in the heart through this process of yoga. But one is not able to realize the Supreme Being, the Supreme Person that is the original Super Soul, the original aspect of the Super Soul. To realize that Supreme Person, one needs to practice the process called Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. Again, more confirmations. Of course, the Vedas are saying, Vaktamam avijanati, that without, only my devotee can understand me. The way to understand Krishna is through the process of devotional service. Because Krishna is beyond the mind. Therefore, we have to realize Krishna by some method which is also not dependent upon the mind. Simply upon our thought powers, we can only think those things that we have experienced in this world. We cannot think about something which is beyond this world. It describes that the Absolute Truth exists before this world, exists well after this world is annihilated. The Absolute Truth is beyond this world. So how can, when the mind will be destroyed, when the whole world will be destroyed, the Absolute Truth is still there. So to realize the Absolute Truth, that the mind is not adequate. This is like trying to put the ocean inside a small bottle. How will it go? So one has to get information from the Absolute Truth. That information may or may not be fully understandable by our mind, but that is the only way to know about the Absolute Truth. What we can, by our own intelligence and speculation, just without any other information, come up to, that will be illusion. Because that's simply a product of the material world. But whatever information we receive directly from the spiritual world, from the Absolute Truth Himself, we may not know who is original. Is it the impersonal Brahman or is it the Supreme Person? But Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratistaham. I am the origin of the Brahman, of the impersonal world. We have to take His version. He being accepted by all authorities as the Supreme Person. Then whether the Supreme Person is Supreme or the Supreme Imperson is Supreme. So we hear from the person, either Brahmano hi pratistaham, the impersonal Brahman is situated in me. It's emanating from me. Madha puratram nanyat. There's no higher truth than I am. I am the highest truth. So, the process of devotional service is not dependent upon the mind, but it engages the mind and senses in various types of active meditations. There are nine-folded practices of devotional service, starting from hearing, chanting, sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, Vishnu. Hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Then there's serving, there's offering of our obeisances and prayers, worshipping the lotus feet. There's doing worship. Then there's being a servant, being a friend, and surrendering everything to Him. These are the nine practices. So the first two practices are hearing and chanting. By hearing and chanting, especially the names of the Supreme Absolute, this allows the pure soul to experience something beyond the mind and intellect. Now, great devotees like Yudhisthira, they're already considered to be Nitya Siddha. They're already liberated souls. So they don't go through all these regulative principles. They don't have to chant their japa every day a certain number of times. You see, because they're automatically day and night thinking about Krishna. They have no other existence than Krishna. As explained here, that Krishna for them, He's their friend, He's their well-wisher, He's their guru, He's everything to them. He's like, He is always like your body and soul. So they can't think anything without Krishna. So after a devotee practices devotional service in this world, then the next birth, you can take birth in the spiritual world or in another universe where Krishna is having His pastimes. And there you can participate with Krishna directly in some devotional service. So at that time when someone is born directly to associate with Krishna and he comes down from the spiritual world or he's in the spiritual world, then one's reunited. So then automatically one is Krishna conscious. But to get that favor, to get that opportunity, is only possible by rendering devotional service. Unless one has developed that keen desire and developed that taste for serving the Lord, then how will one be brought? It's not possible just to be automatically brought to Krishna by normal means. Unless one has developed that desire to be with Krishna, that desire comes automatically from the heart when we render devotional service. It's within our heart. we have already within us the desire to serve Krishna. But instead, because it's explained, just as Krishna is the impersonal Brahman, Krishna energy is also expanded as the material world. So when we see something in the material world that we like, we think, oh, this is very nice. That is also an expansion of Krishna's energy. So indirectly, we're also loving Krishna. One time, Srila Prabhupada explained that Krishna, in the Gita, he says that of all liquids, the quality of quenching the thirst, I am that quality. Now everyone, they want to take some, you get thirsty, you want to have a liquid. If someone gives you a cake or a chapati or some idli, that won't satisfy. You need water that has some special quality. Why do people drink? When they're drinking alcohol, there's some taste they're getting. So whatever, any liquid you take, whatever the taste is, that you find appeasing or attractive or satisfying, that essence of that liquid is Krishna. One of Krishna's vibhutis or opulences. So Srila Prabhupada said that even if a man is a drunkard, if he sees that actually that thing in the liquor, that why I'm going after this whiskey, that whatever that little feature there that I find so attractive, that feature is Krishna. And every time he's drinking, if he's thinking that is Krishna, then eventually he can also be Krishna conscious. The thing is that if you know that, well, whatever, any of this little thing you find, you see the sunset is beautiful, you see a woman is beautiful, you see a man is very powerful, anything you see that that's some good quality there, that is just an aspect, a little minute portion of Krishna's greatness. You see the big mountains, or you see the vast qualities of nature, these are all expansions of Krishna's universal form. Then, if you have Krishna himself, then that is the embodiment of everything. All perfections. So, we are persons, so we think the supreme absolute truth should not be a person. That means we're saying absolute truth should be less than we are. How is it possible? If absolute truth is the supreme truth, then how can the supreme truth have less than the relative truths? If we are a byproduct, how can the supreme truth be less than the byproduct? Or the expansion, or the part. The whole must have everything the part has. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate. Since the absolute truth, Om Purnam, it is the complete supreme truth. Therefore, it contains everything the parts have, plus more. In this world, our personality is a kind of reflection because it's going through this body, which is a limited thing. This material body is, after all, a kind of machine. If you look in your anatomy books, it shows how this... I saw one school book for children. They called it the Bionic Man. And they showed how this is all one big factory. How this is one type of hinge, then this is ball joint hinge, because you see that this hips and the shoulders, they can roll, there's a ball there. But this is just a straight hinge, these ones, the knees. So it shows the whole thing, it showed just with the hinges, and it showed the lungs as a bellows, air filter. So on, you know, it gave all like a big machine. Purification, bladder pump, this, you know, filtering, liver, stomach for this energy source. It showed the whole picture as a big machine. So what does the Gita say? Yantarudani maya, that actually the body is a type of machine. We're situated in the heart. We're the soul. We're the spirit. We're the living force. So we spend our whole life We may talk so many spiritual things. You find that those spiritual groups, there's so many people speculating about this and that. But actually, ultimately, what they do with their time in life is they spend all their time simply maintaining their bodies. Then where is the difference between them and any ordinary person? So the body is meant for a higher purpose. We should work and maintain the body, but the key is moderation, no doubt. What is the real moderation? That everything should be done with the higher purpose. That is how we moderate. Sense gratification is not bad to the limit that we need it. And if we make sense gratification the goal, then it's bad. The goal should be to serve the Supreme Person, to become devotees, to become liberated from this material world and engage ourselves purely in His pure devotional service. It's considered to be the purpose of human life. So, Yudhisthira, he achieved that in such a sublime way that Narada Muni was amazed. Then how is it that you have got the impersonal Brahman himself walking in your house? You've got the supreme Brahman, you've got the supreme person, everything is with you. So if we follow in the footsteps of Yudhisthira and become devotees of Krishna, we can also get this blessing to have Krishna with us. In fact, Krishna will sit in our heart constantly and He'll dance on our lips as we chant His name. The name of Krishna and Krishna are not different. So by chanting Krishna, you can experience the presence of Krishna there in that vibration. And that presence of Krishna is what is purifying. That is what gives us an experience which is beyond the mind. So this is not very easy to understand. This is also explained by Narada Muni. He said, exalted persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma could not properly describe the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. May the Lord, who is always worshipped as the protector of all devotees by great saints, who observe vows of silence, meditation, devotional service and renunciation, be pleased with us. But actually it's very difficult to explain this position of the Supreme Person. There's an interesting story here that he told Yudhisthira. He said, my dear Yudhisthira, long ago in history, a demon known as Maya Danava, who was very expert in technical knowledge, reduced the reputation of Lord Shiva. In that situation, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saved Lord Shiva. The purport in regard to this, that Lord Shiva is known as Mahadeva, the most exalted demigod. Thus Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that although Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva could have known them. This historical incident proves that Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna, the Param Brahma. Rajavacha, the king Yudhisthira said, for what reason did the demon Maya Danava vanquish Lord Shiva's reputation? How did Lord Krishna save Lord Shiva and expand his reputation again? Kindly describe these incidents. So then Narada Muni explained, Nirjita Asura Devaya Yudhyaneno Pabrim Hitai Mayinam Paramachacham Mayang Saranangayu Ayayu. Narada Muni said, when the demigods who are always powerful by the mercy of Lord Krishna fought with the Asuras were defeated, and therefore they took shelter of Maya Danava, the greatest of the demons. Maya Danava, the great leader of the demons, prepared three invisible residences and gave them to the demons. These dwellings resembled airplanes made of gold, silver, and iron, and they contained uncommon paraphernalia. My dear King Yudhisthira, because of these three dwellings, the commanders of the demons remained invisible to the demigods. Taking advantage of this opportunity, the demons remembered their former enmity, began to vanquish the three worlds, upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Thereafter, when the demons had begun to destroy the higher planetary systems, the rulers of those planets went to Lord Shiva, fully surrendered unto him, and said, "My dear Lord, we demigods living in the three worlds are about to be vanquished. We are your followers. Kindly save us." The most powerful and able Lord Shiva reassured them and said, "Do not be afraid." He then fixed his arrows to his bow and released them towards the three residences occupied by the demons. The arrows released by Lord Shiva appeared like fiery beams emanating from the sun globe and covered the three residential airplanes, which could then no longer be seen. Attacked by Lord Shiva's golden arrows, all the demonic inhabitants of those three dwellings lost their lives and fell down. Then the great mystic Mayadhanava dropped the demons into a nectarian well that he had created. Prabhupada explains that the reason the asuras are powerful is because they have mystic power. Prabhupada, in regard to mystic power, explains that of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The actual purpose of mystic yoga is to concentrate one's attention fully on the personality of Godhead Krishna and always think of him, mad gatinantaratmana. To attain such perfection, one must undergo a certain process, Hatha Yoga, and through this yoga system, the practitioner achieves some uncommon mystic power. The asuras, however, instead of becoming devotees of Krishna, utilize this mystic power for their personal sense gratification. Mayadhanava, for example, is mentioned here as Mahayogi, a great mystic, but his business was to help the asuras. Nowadays, we are actually seeing that there are some yogis who cater to the senses of materialists, and there are imposters who have advertised themselves as God. Mayadhanava was such a person, a god amongst demons, and he could perform some wonderful feats, one of which is described here. He made a well filled with nectar and dipped the asuras into that nectarian well. This nectar was known as Mrita Sanjivai Thari, for it could bring back a dead body to life. Mrita Sanjivai Thari is also an Ayurvedic preparation. It is a kind of liquor that invigorates even a person on the verge of death. You can imagine if Mayadhanava set up his shop today, and you old people, you dip them in the well and they came out young and healthy. He'd become, the whole world would start doing puja to him and say he's God. So nowadays we have many gods, especially in India, there's a lot of avatars going around. But all they do is they can produce a Chico watch or a few ashes or a few different benedictions. You know, Mayadhanava, he could bring them back from death practically. He could give them, but he's not God, he's a very powerful mystic yogi who is a demon. He's against God. If he had someone even that big, the whole world would be falling at his feet now. You'd find we can be lining up to also take a dip. Everyone is so, they want to only get rid of this old age. Because even Mrs. Regan spent $25,000 to have her skin pulled tight so she'd look 5-10 years younger. That means about 60-75,000 ringgit for one face job. So you can imagine if they had the Mayadhanava set up shop, I think the whole community would be lining up to get this Mrita Sanjivani. So, unfortunately, even our so-called avatars we have today, they're not even having as much power as Mayadhanava. He was so powerful, he could produce these huge spaceships that could be invisible and could attack any country. Now, how many billions of dollars they're spending in America to make this space wars for defense? But if they had this type of weapon, then they wouldn't have to worry about it. You see. So, but our present day mystic yogis are not showing this type of demonstration, at least on this planet. Maybe other planets they're doing. But on this planet we're not seeing even up to this level what we're seeing here. Now these things are not possible for ordinary people. There are residents on higher planets and they have supernatural powers. And they get those powers by following this yoga system. But the problem is they're not devotees. So when they get the power, they use it for their own selves, sense gratification. And this Maya Dhanava, he being the supreme, he's giving more power to his followers. But that power is all being misused. Instead of for creating peace in the world or for creating a well-being, it's being used for people to come ahead in their own way in sense gratification and to put other people down. So that cannot bring any ultimate good in the world. So that's why even Lord Shiva, when he was approached, he immediately went against these people that no, they're creating a disturbance. But this Maya Dhanava was so powerful that even Lord Shiva practically killed them, he brought them back to life. That was the amazing thing that's explained here. That such is the power of yoga that he could do something which even baffled Lord Shiva, who is having unlimited yogic powers. So when the dead bodies of the demons came in touch with the nectar, their bodies became invincible to the thunderbolts. Vishnu considered how to stop this newest nuisance created by Maya Dhanava. Then it explained, Vatsas cha siddhada brahma swayam vishnu rayam higau pavishya tripuram kale rasa kupam ritam papo. Then Lord Brahma became a calf and Lord Vishnu a cow. And at noon they entered the residences and drank all the nectar in the well. The demons could see the calf and cow because of the illusion created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons could not forbid them. The great mystic Maya Dhanava became aware that the calf and cow were drinking the nectar, and he could understand this to be the unseen power of providence. Thus he spoke to the demons who were grievously lamenting. Maya Dhanava said, what has been destined by the Supreme Lord for oneself, for others, and for both oneself and others, cannot be undone anywhere or by anyone, whether one be a demigod, a demon, a human being, or anyone else. In this regard, Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord is one, Krishna, the Vishnu Tattva. So Krishna expands himself into Vishnu Tattva, personal expansions who control everything. Maya Dhanava said, however I plan, you plan, or both of us plan, the Lord has planned what is to happen. No one's plan will be successful without His sanction. We may make our own various plans, but unless they are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, they will never be successful. Hundreds and millions of plans are made by all kinds of living entities, but without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, they are futile. So it seems that this Maya Dhanava is very intelligent. With his mystic power, he even faced Lord Shiva. But when he saw that Vishnu was coming and drinking his wells, then he knew that once the Supreme Lord has entered into the fray, it's a hopeless cause. Whatever the will of Providence is, the will of the Supreme, then no one can go against. You see. So actually this Maya Dhanava, he was the more intelligent of all the demons. Because he could understand this point. Up to that point, he was going on competing with the demigods, even to the point of Lord Shiva, who is a Mahadeva, who is directly expanded from Vishnu. But when he saw that the Supreme Lord Himself is decided in one particular way, then he said that, well, you and I may make our plan, but whatever the Supreme Lord plans, that's what's going to happen. You see, that is what makes Maya Dhanava stand apart from the others in this history, we can already see. Just like some people, they're working very hard. They think simply by their work they're going to be successful. But if the Supreme Lord doesn't bless them, doesn't desire it, no matter how hard they work, they may not get the result. Sometimes there are two people born in the same family or next door neighbors born at the same time. But one family, they become very wealthy, they may become datuks and datins, The other one, they may become criminals even, or they're just beggars in the street, they can't get ahead, so many problems. Someone may be very wealthy, he gets married, but he doesn't have any family happiness. Sometimes it happens. You find that even though everything is there, they don't have peace in their home. While a poor man, he may not be not having so much income. He may not have a big Mercedes-Benz car. He may not have the big three-way color TV. But he may be very happy. He may have a very good family life, nice wife and children. He feels that he's having a happy family life. So all these things are ultimately decided by the Supreme. So if a person even wants to be materially happy, if he thinks he can do it simply on his own effort, he's mistaken. We may make our plans, but if the plan is not approved by the Supreme, then everything's finished. So we need the blessing of the Supreme, whether we want material happiness, whether we want liberation, or whether we want to achieve pure devotion. This is the secret which Maya Dhanava has, although he's a great demon, he has even understood to some extent this aspect. So in conclusion, what has happened? This is very interesting. Narada Muni continued, thereafter Lord Krishna by his own personal potency consisting of religion, knowledge, renunciation, opulence, austerity, education, and activities, equipped Lord Shiva with all the necessary paraphernalia, such as a chariot, a charioteer, a flag, horses, elephants, a bow, a shield, and arrows. When Lord Shiva was fully equipped in this way, he sat down on the chariot with his arrows and bow to fight with the demons. My dear Lord, my dear King Yudhisthira, in this regard, Prabhupada explains that in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, it explains that Vaishnavanam Jatasambhu, that Shiva, Lord Shiva is the best of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Krishna. In fact, he's considered one of the Mahajanas, Swayambhur Narada Sambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu, etc. The Lord Krishna is always prepared to help all the Mahajanas and devotees in every respect. Kuntiya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. That means my devotee will never be perished. So although Lord Shiva is very powerful, he lost the battle to the Asuras, and therefore he was morose and disappointed. However, because he is one of the chief devotees of the Lord personally equipped him with all the paraphernalia for war. The devotee, therefore, must serve the Lord sincerely, and Krishna is always in the background to protect him, and if need be, to equip him fully to fight with his enemy. For devotees, there is no scarcity of knowledge or material requisites for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. It's important to know that sometimes we think, well, I have to do some business and make money, then I can spread Krishna consciousness. I have to get some degree before I can spread Krishna consciousness, otherwise people won't listen to me. But actually, for spreading Krishna consciousness, Krishna will provide all the material requisites if we become sincere devotees and try to carry out His service. This is important. Whatever we are doing, if we are sincere devotees, Krishna will give us what we need to implement His devotional service. Whatever is essential to do His service, to be successful in Krishna consciousness, He will provide. Yoga kshemam bahamyaham. He preserves what we have, He gives what we need in order to become fully Krishna conscious. We have to be sincere about our determination to become pure devotees of the Lord, and then He'll give us all the requisites. So then, the most powerful Lord Shiva joined the arrows to his bow, and at noon he set fire to all the residences of the demons and thus destroyed them. Seated in their airplanes in the sky, inhabitants of the higher planetary systems beat many kettle drums. The demigod saints, pitas, sitas, and various great personalities showered flowers on the head of Lord Shiva, wishing him all victory, and the apsaras began to chant and dance in great pleasure. O King Yudhisthira, thus Lord Shiva is known as Tripurari, the annihilator of the three dwellings of the demons, because he burnt these dwellings to ashes. Being worshipped by the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva returned to his own abode. The Lord Sri Krishna appeared as a human being, yet he performed many uncommon and wonderful pastimes by his own potency. How can I say more about his activities and what has already been said by great saintly persons? Everyone can be purified by his activities simply by hearing about them from the right source. So, today we heard about the glories of devotional service, the glories of Krishna in giving his devotees unlimited mercy. We heard about the glories of Lord Shiva, the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, and how he got the name of Tripurari, which is a very famous name of Lord Shiva. How he destroyed the three residences of the demons and burnt them to ashes, being empowered personally by Krishna to do that. So, for the devotees of Krishna, they have a very intimate relationship with Lord Shiva. They respect Lord Shiva as the greatest of all the devotees. Sometimes the devotees of Lord Shiva do not understand the position of Krishna, and there's some misunderstanding. But from the devotees of Vishnu and Krishna's side, at least in our disciplic succession, there's absolutely no misunderstanding whatsoever. And we recommend that everyone worship Lord Shiva as the greatest devotee of Krishna, and worship Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and take from Him the unlimited blessings of His causeless mercy, and to serve Him through devotional service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes the deity are coming, moving in a light, and they're doing a pastime, then they're going back and taking deity form. These are also avatar. So Krishna avatar is predicted that every day of Brahma, at a particular manu, at a particular time, it comes in that Dharpa Yuga, and he does his lila. Then Krishna's lila has ended in this universe, he has started in another universe. And as it's described that as Krishna is being born here, when the birth lila is over, another universe, the birth lila is going on. Just like here, at 7 in the morning, 6 in the morning, the sun is rising. By 7 o'clock, it's already risen. But now over next in the Indonesia or Andaman Islands in the Bay of Bengal, now the sun is rising there. Then in the next place, it rises. Like this is rising, the rising lila is going on. The Krishna's avatar is going on always. Don't think that at this time Krishna is not taking avatar. But not in this universe, in some other universe. After some, again the next day of Brahma, Krishna will again come here in this universe on schedule. He is very timely. That's his lila, that he comes once in a day of Brahma, on schedule, to pick up all the living entities who are his devotees in the universe. So to know the time, how is Krishna coming, how he's appearing, how he's performing his leelas, this is not a small thing. Krishna said, janma karma chane divyam, that my appearance and my activities are transcendental, divyam. Janma karma chane divyam evam yo vedi tattvada, and someone who knows in truth the nature of my birth and activities. Chaktam deham purnarjanma naiti Mamiti Sorjuna. That when they give up this body, again they don't have to take birth again in the material world. So simply if you know actually the nature of Krishna, his appearance, his lila, his activities, you don't have to take birth again in this world. That's enough to transfer you back to the spiritual sky. But don't think that this on face value, why Krishna is coming, this, that. You have to know by studying the Bhagavad Gita, by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas, what is the nature of Krishna's appearance. If you just hear it in the tea stall, or you hear it in some conversation from different pundits who haven't gone deeply into the, through the proper, they said here, the main thing is to hear the glory of Krishna from the proper source. What is your source? Where are you getting your information? If you hear from the proper source, then these confusions do not stay there. This is the whole point here in the conclusion of this chapter. The Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures fully explain that the Supreme Personality of Krishna appears in human society as an ordinary human being, but acts very uncommonly for the well-being of the entire world. One should not be influenced by the illusory energy and think Lord Krishna to be an ordinary human being. Those who really seek the absolute truth come to the understanding that Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Such great souls are very rare. Nonetheless, if one studies the entire Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna is very easy to understand. The Krishna conscious movement is just trying to make Krishna known all over the world as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. If people take this movement seriously, their lives as human beings will be successful. Just like so many ambassadors are going to different countries. Today there was an ambassador come here and he's going to some country. He's going to see the Prime Minister tomorrow. Does that mean if the ambassador goes before the Prime Minister goes that he's greater? The avatar may come before or after. Who, if the prison house, the governor may visit, the chief police officer may visit, the later on the Agong may visit. Does that mean if the Agong visits after the governor, that the Agong is less than the governor? When the Supreme Godhead comes from His spiritual abode to this material world, whether someone else He came in another form before or after, that doesn't reflect on who is the Supreme. That relative sequence, what does that make any difference? What time? This is the prison house, they can come whenever they want. Who comes first or who comes later? That is irrelevant. We have to know who is the Supreme, not by the chronology, that who came before, who came after, but from the Supreme Lord Himself. He'll say which is the original form. Mata puratram namyat kinchit. That there's no higher truth than I am. Or, as it explains in the Bhagavatam, all the avatars are mentioned, Braha, Kurma, Matsya, as well as Parsaram, and Narasimha, Krishna Balaram, Buddha, Kalki, all avatars are mentioned. Amongst all these, Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, Ete Chamsa Kalapung Sang, all these are either the part or the part of the part of the Supreme Person. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the original Supreme Person. He is the origin. Whatever qualities Ram has, Krishna has. Whatever qualities Brahma has, Krishna has. Whatever qualities Narasimha has, Krishna has. But what qualities Krishna has, no one else has. He has some qualities that no one else has. Even Brahma, even Narasimha, even Ramchandra. They may have 93% of his qualities, they may have 94%, but 100% only Krishna has. Therefore, Krishna, by analyzing all the avatars, they came to the conclusion, He is the only one who has got exceptional quality more than any other. Therefore, He is the original. And He Himself said, I am the original. This is a discussion with sometimes in South India, Lord Chaitanya had arguments with the Sri Sampradaya. They say that Narayan is the original, that Krishna is coming from Narayan. So we respect all the Vaishnavas, because Krishna and Narayan, at least they understand that Vishnu is the Supreme. But Lord Chaitanya, he had a discussion with them. He said that you say Narayan is, they said that why you're worshipping Krishna, Narayan is the Supreme. Krishna is only avatar of Narayan. So then Lord Chaitanya said, if Krishna is only an avatar of Narayan, then why is it that Lakshmi, the consort of Narayan, was doing tapasya to enter into Krishna's Rasleela? Can you answer that? Since Lakshmi is the consort of Narayan, and she has Narayan all the time, why is it that she is doing tapasya in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes in the Rasleela? If she was original, if Narayan is original, they can go anytime, why do they have to do tapasya? Why she's not satisfied already? Why she wants more? Of course she's satisfied, but still she's wanting more. Then Lord Chaitanya asked why she was refused admittance. She was not allowed. Even Lord Shiva was allowed in Ras Leela as the gatekeeper, but not Lakshmi. She wasn't given the gate pass. Because Narayana is the majestic form. Lakshmi is the majestic form of Shakti. Opulent form. All-powerful form in that aspect. And Krishna is informal. He is the most informal, confidential, the original form. Just like some ministers sometimes come here, he sits on the floor with us, we give him prasad, he talks with us. But if you go and see him in his office there, he's got the guards outside, we have to wait in line and do all, then he's a big minister. Sometimes the members of the High Court, they come with us and they sit and take their prasad because they like to associate with saintly people. But if we go to see them in High Court, then they're sitting in the big chair with their wig or their robes, and then you can say to them, that we have to say, my lord, your lordship, and so on. Everything is formal. They walk in the room, you have to stand up in respect for the position, for the court. So Prabhupada explained that Krishna is the original form, but for this formal aspect, because people want to see the power and glory of God, so he expands himself as Narayana to manifest that aspect of God. That's the formal aspect. And the informal, original, personal form is Krishna. So if that formal aspect, how can that enter into Krishna's pastime? It's the wrong mood. So which is the higher, which is the closer? If you go to a man's house and you meet him there, or you meet him in the office when he's in a formal. Both are true, neither are false. But at home you can know the person better. What is the actual person like? The other side is so formal you can only approach at a distance. You don't get that intimate feeling. So that's why the form of Krishna is also considered as the original supreme form. And the Krishna is more approachable. The cowherd boys are hugging Krishna. They're playing with Krishna. They're running with the cows. Can you imagine Narayan doing that? You see, it's incongruous. Because he's a different aspect, different mood. That mood is all holy, pure, absolute. But Krishna is the most confidential. We first need to know the power of God. We need to know the glory of God. We need to know the opulence of God. Then we can appreciate that he is also the great person, the greatest person. He is the most personal person. He is the most gentle and kind person, the most beautiful. But in this world, we want to first, if we don't appreciate the power and the ultimate purview, then we take it lightly. Therefore, all these other aspects are to be understood first. Then you can come and appreciate that supreme person, if you're just like, just like if you see the big minister, you see the prime minister, then you go and you're invited and they take you and a friend takes you to his house and there he's playing with his children and he says, oh, he can't be the prime minister. How he can be prime minister? He's playing with his children. What, you think the prime minister can't play with his children? No, no. Prime minister is only standing up and giving speeches and so on. You say the Supreme Godhead is only coming in this way. How can he just be the so personal and so natural? How can he be so intimate with his devotee? How he can be so kind and so merciful? And so, no, he can't be like that. They were doing like this, we're making these conclusions. That is his greatness. That he can not only be the Lord of Vaikuntha, he can not even only be the Lord who comes and he equips Lord Shiva to fight and destroy the demons' houses. He can also come down and just be the friend of his devotee on equal terms. So even assume an inferior position as a servant driving his chariot for his devotee. That is why the Supreme Person is the greatest. Because he can simultaneously be the greatest, he can be the most humble and personal friend of his devotee. Hare Krishna.